We spoke last week about the Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, and perhaps that even though he was a Maimon when we first introduced Avraham Avinu, in the end of, you know, after going through all the Nisyonos, especially the Kedis Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu was a Yirei Elokim. So we know that there are many different Mephorshim have actually had to list what's the proper order and what were the 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. And some of them list the purchasing, the difficulty in purchasing a burial place for Sarah as one of the Nisyonos. The question is asked is that how could it be that after passing the test, the challenge of Akedas Yitzchak, that not being able to find a place to bury Sarah so easily could be considered a Nisyon? Famous question. And one mahalach is that very often when you accomplish, right, when you, the greatest achievement, you know, and then somebody throws you, you know, actually just a mashal mahal davar dama, right? I don't know if this is proper, but basically, you know, if you're hitting fastballs all day and hitting them well, and all of a sudden somebody throws you a change up, something slower, something not as powerful, it's very, you know, oftentimes it's very difficult to handle that, right? You win the championship and you're on top of the world, and then you're met with let's say a lesser opponent, a less intimidating opponent. Sometimes it could be a little bit more challenging. So to over here, Avraham Avinu accomplished the Kedis Yitzchak, but once you hit the top, you know, it's sometimes easy to lose sight and fall and stumble and not necessarily accomplish smaller and less challenging feats. For example, you have by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu accomplished so much; he survived his situation with Esav, and then Bikish Yaakov Leishi B'Shalva. He wanted to sit and relax, and then immediately after that, he had all the challenges with Yosef and so on and so forth. So you see this Nakuda that even though you pass the biggest test, you always have to be on guard. Even if a Nisayon that seems to be smaller in nature. That's one mahalach. The other mahalach that's given is that, and then in terms of climbing a mountain, you know, when you're climbing the mountain, those of you that do mountain climbing, some of you over here are very into mountain climbing, on your way up, there's not as much of a fear to fall because you're always moving, you're always going up. You're involved in the challenge. When you hit the top of the mountain, and it's, once you're there and you've already accomplished, so then there's perhaps even more of a concern that you're going to fall. And that's perhaps one way of explaining why the Nisayon of finding a place to bury Sarah would still be considered a Nisayon even though you passed the Kedis Yitzchak. The other mahalach is that if we were met with a situation where somebody said, bow down to a pestle or die, so I would hope to say that you'd all be able to do it. If somebody would say, we're now abolishing, you're not allowed to learn Torah in this area or this region, so you and probably all of us would be so pumped up, you know, we'd go to a cave and we'd start learning Torah. And I'll give you a mashal. It's a true story. There's once a student, Talmud in Yeshiva, who got into learning, but his parents weren't so into his learning. So they told him he has to leave Yeshiva. And if he stays in Yeshiva, they're not going to support him. And he was Moser Nefesh, such a mysterious Nefesh. He said, you know what? I'm going to stay and learn. Even if it costs me my relationship with my parents, I'm going to stay and learn. Okay, hopefully it never comes up. Hopefully you can make it. The ideal is to make some sort of compromise. But this once happened to a certain student. Not in this Yeshiva, in a different Yeshiva, most likely about Tshuva. And the boy, even though it meant, you know, jumping into Torah and perhaps losing financial support, emotional support from his parents, he was able to do it. Yet, the same boy, a few weeks later, was having difficulty waking up on time for Shacharis. How could it be? How could it be a boy who had such mysterious nefesh for a big challenge, couldn't get up for the smaller challenges? And that could also be the explanation of this Nakuda. Avraham Avinu was able to get up for the challenge of Kedis Yitzchak. It was such a big challenge here. He was promised a child, Yitzchak Avinu, and then he's told to slaughter him. So for that, he built himself up for it. But all of a sudden, afterwards, he had a smaller Nisayon, perhaps of not finding a place to bury Sarah. So it could be that the fact that it's a smaller with less, I'm not sure how to discover it, less, not just less oomph, but less global, less of a an intimidating challenge, that perhaps would pose a problem. And I think it's something that we can all relate to. You know, to be here, to come back Shana Bet, for some of us, was a big nisayon. Big nisayon. We had to give up a lot. We had to convince ourselves, we had to convince our parents, perhaps. But the everyday nisayon, the small nisayon of, should I come on time to Shacharis? Can I come on time to First Seder? Should I learn the entire First Seder, or should I shmooze? Or should I come to Friday Seder and shmooze, or should I learn? Or mincha, or afternoon Seder, or night Seder, or Musar Seder, or brachos bekavano, or ben alum chavero. All these smaller nisyonos, very often, of course, you'll tell me that there's one, meaning the bigger nisyon is generally a one-time thing. You can answer back to me, that's the teretz. But the smaller nisyonos are every minute. True. But I think the way to answer that is with the following other Dvar Torah from this week's parasha. And that is, everybody knows the famous Medrash, that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim were dozing off. So what did he say? He said, why was Esther Zoche to 127 provinces? Because she was the great-great-great-granddaughter of Sarah Imenu, who lived for 127 years. So in the Sefer, let me just quote the Sefer over here. In the Sefer, Elav Zira, he explains the following idea. He explains that what's the connection between the 127 years of Sarah Imenu and 127 provinces of Esther. So he says that in the pasuk it says, we know that the idea of the 127 years, Me'a Shana, Esther Shana, Sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayesar. Why does it say Shana after every single one? Kulon, Shavin, Latoiva. They're all equal. Right, they're all equal. Kulon, Shavin, Latoiva. And we also know that Avram and Sarah refer to Zokin Boba Yomim. The idea is that Sarah's life was life of consistency. Not much life of consistency. I remember the Maimar HaMuzker, now we've been talking about Rav Nosson Tzvi over the last few weeks. I remember Rav Nosson Tzvi said a shmuz on Chaya Sarah, and he said that I'm not sure which Chashuv Rebetzin he was talking about. He was talking about a Chashuv Rebetzin in Bnei Brak who he used to go visit. And one thing that he observed or knew about her was that she ate the same thing every single day, morning, afternoon, night. Everything was consistent. Why? Because that's the mahus. That was her mahus. Like Sarah Imenu, consistency, being consistent. So Sarah Imenu was consistent. When she was 7 years old, she was able to act and achieve what a 7 year old was supposed to accomplish. When she was 20 years old, she accomplished what a 20 year old was supposed to accomplish. At 100 years old, which obviously is a different type of life, different types of challenges when you're older, she was able to accomplish those. At all points in her life, she was able to rise to the challenge needed in that era, needed in that time of her life, that stage of her life. So then, that was her Milo. That was the Milo over here. And to be a leader, you have to be able to be consistent. You have to be able to relate to the people and relate to the times. How do I know this? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's discussing about who's going to be the next leader. So, right here, one second. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Hashem about a successor. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos Chovaso Ish Al Eida." There's going to be a need for a new leader. So Rashi says, "Elokei Aruchos Levan Nemar Amo Lefano Everybody Shalom Golu Yilfanecha Daito Shekol Echad VeEchad." You know the personality of every single person. Ve'in Dom Zelaze. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. Mine aleimanik. You have to appoint a leader. You need to be able to appoint a leader who's able to deal with every single person, every single situation. That's what a manik needs, and that's why Esther was picked by Achashverosh to be queen of 127 nations, because she was the great granddaughter of Sari Imenu. Sari Imenu was one who was able to rise to at every stage of her life, every type of situation, she was able to be successful. So too, her great great granddaughter Esther should fit that mold and be able to satisfy the needs of all the people in all 127 provinces, because every single person, every single province is going to have a different need. Esther is going to be able to do that. And now we understand why Rabbi Akiva used that lesson to wake up his students. Because the students say, hey, some days we can learn, some days we can snooze, some days we can schluff. But what's Rabbi Akiva telling them by saying over this parallel between Esther and Sarah, that the only way to accomplish, the only way to achieve, the only way to rule over people, more importantly, rule over yourselves, is to be consistent, to be able to rise to every challenge, whether the challenge is big, whether the challenge is small. So, and it's a natural tendency that we have, like Avraham Avinu, you accomplish a tremendous feat, and then wham, you get another small nisayon. And that's very, very often much, much harder. So I know that all of you, you're here in Shana Bet, whether it was a challenge or not, you're here now. I want to try to remind you why you're here. You're here to learn. This is a golden opportunity. Many of you are really, really taking advantage of the opportunity, but some of us perhaps not as much. Some of us not as much. I can't begin to tell you every year. I say it like until it's overdone and oversaid, that these are the golden days. I can't even say the golden years anymore. I can't even say the golden months. Some of you, unfortunately, are not going to be zocher to stay past January for whatever reason. And even if you are zocher to stay until Pesach, you speak to people who leave Yeshiva Torah Shraga. Most of them go to YU. YU has a very, very intense schedule. You can grow there. You can learn there. But you cannot compare the time that you're going to have after Torah Shraga to the time that you have here. Right now, you have your Rebbeim so close. You have, I'm sure many of you are close with at least five Rebbeim that you can turn to, you can schmooze with, you can learn with. Number one. Number two, what do you have to worry about? Besides Shabbos plans, okay, you worry about registering for classes, that's in a few weeks, a few months. What do you have? There's no reason why for the next 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is, 4 months, 5 months, hopefully some of you, I know there's different things going on with different types of language tests, hopefully Hashem will mzake you, and you'll all be able to stay in Yeshiva till March, Beis Hashem, till the end of this month. But no matter how long you're here for, from now on, Shachris, First Seder, we're not even asking, I'm not even talking Bein Astarim, right? Many, many Bali Musar say that, what's a real Masmid? The real master is not the master who wakes up especially early before chakras to learn. The real master is not the one who learns Bein Hasadarim. It's very important to learn during all those times. But the real master, a real person of accomplishment, is a person who comes on time to the chakras and down chakras like a mensch. A person who comes on time to first Seder and learns the entire first Seder. A person who goes to Shir and writes notes and pays attention to Shir and reviews the Shir at the right time. A person who comes to Mincha on time, Halacha Seder on time, afternoon Seder. It takes every minute afternoon Seder. You want to take a break during the day? Beseder. You don't want to do anything Bein Hasadarim? Beseder. I think it's pushed to me. It's more important to have a full first Seder, full afternoon Seder, and full night Seder than to have, you know, add on times and other times a day. That's the Iker. So I hope that in Bitzah we follow the lesson of Avraham Avinu. It's not enough to just be here for Shana Bet, if that was the Nisayon. It's not enough to, you know, accomplish other big Nisayonis in life. Consistency. And the only way to survive in Ruchnis, as we see from Sari Imenu, to rule over yourself and to find out the Yetzara, is to be consistent. And I received an email recently from an old student who told me he's going through a Nisayon. He didn't tell me what it was. Hopefully one of these days I'll have the opportunity to speak to him about it. But one thing, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what his Nisayon is, and I don't know what it's to give him. But one thing I do know, if a person has no time to be brought down, he won't be brought down. And it follows the same lesson. If you're consistent, if you have a schedule, that you know exactly where you're supposed to be, and has something to do with productivity, you won't fall. I'm not saying you have to overwhelm yourself, but if you're too busy doing good things and productive things, then you won't have time to get drawn into distractions. And there's no better way to prepare yourself for those kinds of nisunos than now in yeshiva. Occupy your entire day with things that are related to Torah and learning and davening. And if you need exercise, seder. But as long as you have a consistent and set schedule, Yetzer Hashem will follow in the ways of Ram Avinu and Sari Meinu. And always zochet to be malachim on our Yetzirah. We'll be cool Yetzer Tov, and through that we'll be zochet to elevate ourselves and be zochet to Gula Shlema. Good Shabbos.